Hi everyone, better late than never. We'll contradict the tweet that said there'd be no podcast this week. Quite, it's harder work than being a cyclist, being at home for the first week of the school holidays with the kids, I can tell you. But we've successfully negotiated Sundown Adventureland, some camping. What else have we done? Nature walks. There's even been a bit of cycling in there as well, briefly. So yeah, apologies for the delay and potential confusion, but we're here now, and we're here to talk about the Tour de France and review everything that happened in that last few days of the Grand Boucle. As always, now the show is brought to you in association with velorooms.com, which is the cycling portal, the cycling community, the online home of the sport. If you've not paid it a visit, then you really should, and you will find it to be a particularly useful website in terms of race reviews, race previews, everything that you need. And it's written, as with all good blogs and forums, it's written by the fans. So that's even better news, isn't it? Because you can register absolutely free of all charge. You can register via all your social media, so you don't need to put in loads of details. And then, why don't you tell a story? Why don't you be part of it? Why don't you say what you think about the racing upcoming? Maybe have a chat about the Vuelta even. The Olympics, all of the things that are going to happen and all the things that have happened. So get yourself involved, get over to there. It's velorooms, all one word, .com. And thank you very much for them in their arrangement with this podcast, the Fendrian podcast, in terms of their help with sharing and content and getting the podcast out there. So thank you to them for that. Well, since we last spoke, there's been the small matter of the end of the Tour de France, and what a decent end of race it was as well. A pretty epic last few days, really. It didn't show any signs of that. When we previously spoke on the podcast, Froome was hurtling almost untroubled towards victory, and we felt that the Mont Ventoux jog would have been the only final real kind of hindrance to him. He was pretty supreme, wasn't he? The last sort of few days of the race did start to show that he could be human. There was the descent 2 or 3 days from the end there, where he crashed. He'd won the mountain time trial the day before, beating Tom Dumoulin, whose tour ended abruptly with a broken arm the next day, putting him in some Olympic doubt. We'll talk Olympics definitely next week. Froome was riding seemingly unchallenged towards the winning of the Tour de France, but that penultimate kind of mountain stage on the Friday, there were gasps, audible gasps, as he kind of clipped off the front with Vincenzo Nibali. There'd been a fair amount of people going down. Balcomolima had been the biggest name to hit the deck on that stage. But there were people all over the road. Adam Yates had been distanced a little bit. And suddenly, Froome and Nibali were off the front. Froome said in a number of interviews that he did that because he wanted to be off the front, because he felt that by picking his own route and line, he would be, you know, safer in that position. That work out for you, Chris? Of course, by doing that, he ended up committing the cardinal sin in the wet. Kids, that's a white line on a road when it's been raining on a bike, because you will go down. And of course, at the start of the day, even though I'm sure the Super Tech Sky Weather Centre in the Death Star would have known maybe there was rain coming, they would have probably applied their tyre pressures for the stage rather than for the last kind of greasy sort of bit of the stage. And Froome came down. He came down hard. He was on Geraint Thomas's bike for the conclusion of the stage, which was obviously better than having to run. But he certainly He certainly didn't look great, and he certainly, you know, by that stage he was far enough ahead not necessarily to worry, but he wouldn't have gone into that expecting to ship a little bit of time, which he did. And of course, that catapulted Romain Bardet into a podium position, because, you know, that guy can go uphill and downhill and, you know, everywhere with a massive amount of quality. There's not trepidation when it comes to young Romain's cycling. So with that in mind, we rolled on to the Saturday with the finish downhill in Morzine. Pretty dodgy, dangerous-looking descent, of course, made more so by the fact that we had another day of rain in the Alps. And obviously that's causing me a great amount of stress, seeing as I'm off to the Alps in a few weeks, and I'm sure it'll probably snow or something the way the weather's gone for me this year. But anyway, that's an aside. The stage itself wasn't particularly exciting. It was mainly about breakaways. In many ways, the actual DC battle was properly kind of over by that point. Bardet seemed happy with second. Quintana had salvaged his tour with third place, despite, you know, not really showing for the whole of the Tour de France. And as a result, everything seemed to be an entente cordiale. The breakaway was all the same usual suspects. Yeah, Park Jolinson, Pantano's, Nibali was in that breakaway. I think even Raphael Michael was in it for a period of time. But it was John Izaguirre who battled away on a particularly hairy and dangerous-looking descent into Morzine. It was a pretty exciting, probably one of the most exciting sort of 40 minutes of racing in the entire tour. Up there with the Sagan-Froome attack in the crosswinds, definitely in terms of actual thrilling bike racing. It made no difference to the overall classement, of course, but it was an exciting little race within a race, and Izaguirre took a fair amount of risk. By that stage, though, the favourites had pretty much decided that enough was enough as far as they were concerned, and rightly so. I think, you know, the Tour was effectively conceded probably early on in the third week, which makes people analyse the course, it makes people analyse Froome, it makes all of those kind of things. But the Tour de France has historically always been about one rider being significantly better than the others, and you know, they go through a period of having a guy dominate it, then you'll have a period of 5 or 6 years with 4 or 5 different winners, and, you know, then the cycle is repeated. So it's hardly a shock. It's no indication necessarily that there's any cheating or anything untoward going on. It's just simply that Sky seemed to have been better organised, and, you know, with Froome attacking on the flat and on the descents, they've not been willing to accept the status quo. They've been willing to try and make the race, and like or loathe Chris Froome, and I have to say, I've always been more of a Bradley Wiggins man than a Chris Froome man when it came down to their battle. You've got to respect the guy for what he's done and what he's achieved. So he rolled into Paris with his customary dropping off the back at 3 kilometres to go type affair, and the actual stage I was delighted to see was won by André Greipel, because we've waited quite a while in this tour for Greipel to actually show, and he did, which was great. You could argue that was because Marcel Kittel had a small nervous breakdown and managed to twist himself to an almost standstill after an untimely mechanical, but regardless of that, Greipel was the fastest and richly deserved, and there endeth the 2016 Tour de France. So Chris Froome, of course, was the yellow jersey, Peter Sagan comfortably the green, Adam Yates the white, and Raphael Majka again the polka dot. So whilst it's easy to say it wasn't that exciting on a number of internet forums have said as such, for me it was probably a 7 out of 10 tour. And that's where we will have to leave the podcast total. The 10-minute wrap, the 10-minute roundup, as usual, is done fairly... it's done in 10 minutes, isn't it? It's not done fairly quickly, of course. So, follow us at FendrianEU on Twitter. Search Fendrian on Facebook. Or go to our Tumblr page, which you can find, again, the link is working, fendrian.eu. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks to Velo Rooms for their backing. And we will speak to you again next week with an Olympic preview.